Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Life, not just sports, but life is offense and defense. It's if you're receiving a punt or a kick in football, you have to go on offense. If you're kicking off, or if you're punting, you have to go on defense. And what's interesting is I think a very unscientific rough estimate is probably 99% of Christians. Most people in here are Christians watching online in some pulpit, SkyTech. Most everybody's Christians. How much of your prayer life is in a defensive posture? How much of it is offensive? How much of it is defensive? Are you on offense or are you on defense in life? I'm not talking about sports here. It's easy to make that correlation. I'm talking about life. The devil wants us playing defense. The devil wants us in a posture where we're not thinking about scoring. We're just hoping we don't give up much ground. We're hoping we're living that kind of bend, don't break lifestyle. Prayer by nature, godly nature of prayer, brings a shift from defense to offense in our lives. See, we have to understand that. See, by design, offense is designed to score. And you think about it, it's interesting, and I guess I'm going to have to go sports here for a minute, but there'll be a possession where a team is stopped and they have to kick a field goal. And invariably, the color commentator on the broadcast will say, for them to win this game, they're not going to win it kicking field goals. They've got to put the ball in the end zone. Well, I think we as a body of Christ, we get pretty, we're okay with just kicking field goals. You know, that scoreboard's not static in our lives. It's going to, that we're, at least we're putting up some numbers and that's great. But I'm talking about in the kingdom, man, where we have, listen, we have the force of heaven behind our lives. See, we believe there's a heaven. We believe there's a hell. We know we're here on this earth. We know that heaven's our destination. But you know, we have to understand now that any of you guys that are committed to the covenant of the tithe, heaven is open up above your life and God's pouring out blessings that are too great for you to receive. That's not settling for field goals. See, offense is designed to score. See, defense is designed to keep your opponent from scoring. And I think that's what we live our lives doing so often. That's what the world's doing regarding the pandemic. It's what the world's doing regarding the economy. It's what what's interesting is there are huge divisions and so much divisive about the stimulus packages that people are bringing up. And you know, the stimulus package we have in the Word is fail-safe. I mean, you think about it. There's not a remedy or a cure or a vaccine on the planet that's 100%, yet God's Word is. See, we've got to understand that. I want to put my trust in the 100 percentile. But see, we'll settle. We'll negotiate. We'll split the difference. Please write this down. Stop splitting the difference. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Man, are you healthy or are you sickly? You decide. I'm not letting somebody else decide. I'm not letting my symptoms decide. See, what's interesting is I'm a spirit being. You're a spirit being. We have a soul and we live in a body. We are so body conscious. We are so soul conscious. And when we're soulish, we're selfish. See, God designed, now listen, God designed our minds, our souls, our will, our intellect, and our bodies to be submissive to our spirit. You know, I'm a word faith guy. Guilty. Here's what my doctrine is. If I can see it in the Word and believe it and speak it, I can have it. That's it. It's not name it, claim it. It's okay, if I see it in the Word, it's like, God sent His Word and healed us and delivered us from all of our destructions. Okay, I'm a Word guy. Anybody here value God's Word? Honor God's Word, prioritize God's Word? That means healing and life are the product. See, so what's the product of this time? It's healing and life. There's people right now, let me tell you, we're gonna get in the Word. The Word is gonna be present, and the Bible says the Word's present to heal. Like, you might be here today, no one may pray for you, you might not tell somebody you've got an ailment, but let me tell you, the Word, in the beginning, here's what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So you're like, man, how do we know God? We know His Word. Let me tell you, the more I get into it, I've been in the Word for over 40 years, a student of the Word. It still astonishes me how powerful the life-giving agents of the Word is. It's just so powerful. Today's message is designed to set the stage for the next 2 months, February and March. It's the end of January. There's nothing we can do about January. But let me tell you something. February and March, we've got some marching orders. And today's message is setting the stage all the way up to Easter. See, normally we function with series, not because really honestly I'm geared to series and ministry, but that's what people look for in church. Helps people get along and stay along. And so it's like, okay, I wanna make it as easy for you to follow God's Word and hear, and listen, value His presence and hear His voice as I possibly can. Okay? Jesus said this, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. See, His yoke was His message. He was speaking to the Jews as a rabbi. Rabbis had messages, each one of them. And the culture of their ministry was wrapped up in that message or their doctrine. Well, Jesus said, look, my yoke is easy. What was His yoke? His yoke was to connect us with a God, the God who loves us, listen, as a father. See, what we're going into and what I'm announcing today is 60 days of revival at Guts Church. 60 days of revival, February 3rd through April 3rd, the 4th being Easter. So it's February 3rd through April 4th. What this is going to entail, quite simply, and let me tell you how it came about. On Monday afternoon, our family, when Gustavo Pius comes in, I just get our family together and we have a meal with him. And we were having a meal. He was prophesying over the family. It was just phenomenal. He stops and he says, hey, listen, you need to lead a 60-day revival. Talking to my family. And I'm like, okay. Like, you'll say, well, there's a 60-day revival. Why? Because that was the word we got from the prophet, and I believe in a word of the Lord. He could have said 90 days, and I'd have said fine. He could have said 365 days. I'd have been down for it. See, I'm telling you right now, just full disclosure with you guys, my heart's open. I am hearing God's voice and led by the Spirit and not settling for anything less. So, and I'll tell you why, you deserve that. See, the days of you living your life without purpose are over. I'm not kidding you. This is what ministry is. I know the purpose on your life. Generally, the purpose on your life from God is for you to win no matter what you're facing. No matter what color jersey the other guy's got on, how big his army is, or how tough that he is. I'm telling you right now, we always win. Why? We're Christians. God causes us to triumph in Christ. What are you facing? I'm telling you, the purpose of God and what you're facing is for you to win. So here's what the revival's gonna be. It's gonna be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 6:30. You just come to church, you bring somebody. This isn't one of those, oh, maybe I get something from God times. You are gonna, here's what Gustavo said. This is gonna be an explosion of miracles. I'm down with miracles. Anybody with me on that? Yeah. Like blind eyes, people seeing kind of thing? Like somebody be preaching and Frankie could be preaching and somebody starts screaming because they could see for the first time in 30 years. I'm in for that. I'm telling you, punch my ticket. Whatever it takes, I'm gonna be there. I don't wanna hear about it, I wanna be there. I want all of God I could get. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 6:30, we're bumping it up a half hour because some of you guys have babies and kids that need to be in bed. I don't want you to use your kids. Listen, parents, parenting advice, don't use your kids as an excuse. You're the one that sets the tempo in the home. You're the one that's the thermostat in your home. If you look at it and think, oh my gosh, things aren't going well in my home. You're the thermostat. You set the temperature. So Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays at 6:30. And you might say, well, what's it gonna be? Tell me what it's gonna look like. Okay, not for me, for you, I'm telling you. It's gonna be 20 minutes of music, 20 minutes of ministry of the word, and 20 minutes of personal ministry. Now, listen, I doubt that it's gonna go like clockwork like that. Because I know us. But I'm telling you, I've already got a word for Wednesday night, for Thursday night, for Friday night. I have to be careful for it not to leak into this service. I mean, what's interesting is what they'd say about Jesus, they'd say, tell me about the Jesus. You know what they'd say? Come and see. And then when they experienced it, the word was go and tell. So that's what these 60 days are gonna be, come and see. Somebody will say, Sandy will say, what are you preaching about Sunday? I'll say, man, you gotta come and find out. You gotta come and see. We have to understand that this, I believe in God, I'm receiving the word of the prophet, an explosion of ministries. Let that sink in. Okay, so that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evenings at 6:30. And listen, this is by, here's what he told us to do. Saturdays, it's 12 hours of prayer. And you'll be going, dear God, I've never prayed for 12 minutes. I'm not asking you to come for 12. If you want to, you can. I'll give you a gold star in your chore chart if you come for 12 hours on Saturdays. It's not going to help you in heaven. The star isn't, but the prayer will. I digress. But it's every hour on the hour from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And we're putting 12 captain teams, one over each hour. And there's gonna be music, there's gonna be ministry, personal ministry, there's gonna be salvations. I just found out in a meeting between services that there will be, on Saturdays, the months of February and March, there will be 96 opportunities for salvation. There'll be 96 altar calls. I'll be like, oh. I don't know about you guys, but altar calls happen, I start jonesing. And so we're ready. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 6:30, there'll be roughly 60 to 70 minutes services. Saturdays from 9 to 9, pick an hour, pick 2 hours, do whatever's on your heart, whatever you could do during that day from 9 to 9, don't miss prayer during that time. And it'll sink in as I preach today. And then Sundays at 9:30 and 11. That's where we're going to go. So that's it in a nutshell. Okay? So that's going to be 60 days of revival. And you'll say, well, I need details. You're going to have to come and find out because it's really all I have. Sandy, do you have any more details? Sandy doesn't have any more details either. All right? So if she doesn't have it and I don't have it, then God's going to show up and you will get it. All right? So the bottom line is explosive miracles, all of God we could get, and a life of victory. Man, we go and win. Matthew 26, verse 36. How many of you guys brought your Bibles? Anybody bring a Bible? It's funny. When I was in college, we had these guys, we played softball. So we go to 2 or 3 tournaments a weekend. We played in different leagues, and so it got to be chaotic, and there were a couple of the it was all complete idiots, okay, just so you know. But the guy said, listen, if you're going to show up for this tournament, you've got to bring a 12-pack of beer. Everybody's got to bring a 12-pack. And he got so mad. And then finally, another one of my friends said, if he says for me to bring another 12-pack, I'm going to slap him with this empty bag because it was all wet, the bag of ice. He said, I'm going to slap him with that. I said, go right ahead. I said, and so I thought, this isn't fun if he doesn't do it. I said, hey, Mike, what do you want us to bring again? He goes, I want you to bring a 12-pack. The guy took the empty bag that had a chunk of ice left in it, and he slapped him in the head and knocked him out. It was awesome. Okay? I say that. You're at church. Bring your Bible. Everybody bring your Bible or we will slap you with a chunk of ice. I've got issues that I've overcome. Do you guys sense that with me? Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Okay, sit here. Okay, it goes farther. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Peter and these other guys had never seen him like this before. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And they're freaking out now. They've never heard him speak like this. Then he said this, stay here and watch with me. All right? So they sat down. Well, Jesus moved a little farther. And he fell on his face. And they're watching him, and he fell on his face. See, he didn't go around. He didn't go into the brush. He went a little farther, and he fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible to let this cup pass from me. He said, but not my will, your will, God. See, let me help you. That's where I am right now in my life. Everything in my life has shifted. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Not my will, your will, God. Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. So of course, he came to Peter because Peter was the first one that he came upon because he walked a little bit with him. And he came to Peter and he said, what? Couldn't you watch with me for an hour? See, I'm going to let something sink into your heart about Saturday prayer for the next 2 months. Because Jesus said in verse 41, and this is going to give you revelation, I believe. It did me. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit being willing is actually translated an aggressive pursuit. That's what your spirit man's doing. But your flesh is weak. I'm going to come back to this. Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in the certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John has also taught his disciples. Do you understand this? That he could have asked him anything. Lord, teach us to cast out, teach us to raise the dead. Teach us to walk on water. He didn't do any of that. He said, teach us to pray. Why? Because he saw Jesus remove himself from the crowd, go and pray, and come back full of power, full of glory. So he said to them, when you pray, say. Prayer's not up here. Meditation's up here. Prayer's here. He said, when you pray, say. And then he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom's come. Your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, give us day by day our daily bread. What's interesting is the notion of this in the original text is give us tomorrow's bread today. So you're getting a word from God today, you're going to need tomorrow. So here's the deal. If you're not in the Word every day, you're not equipped for tomorrow. Man, things can ear hole you. Things can ambush you. What if I could tell you that the days of you being ambushed by the enemy in the world are over? Is that good news? Yep. Let me tell you, God gives us his word day by day in daily doses, but a day ahead of time. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, he said, watch and pray. Listen, lest you fall into temptation. What's interesting about this is I think we are temptable as human beings. As human beings that aren't spirit-led and immersed in prayer, without God's day-by-day, a day-ahead-of-time help, now a weak prayer life exposes temptation that we don't need to have, we don't need to face. I mean, the body of Christ, men and women, man, I'm just telling you, with the internet, with everything going on, all the information, temptation is, it's at a fever pitch all over the world. And I'm thinking, wait a second. He said, what did he say? Watch and pray so you don't fall into temptation. See, so a weak prayer life exposes us to temptation that we don't need to face. See, and this isn't a minor thing in the Word. I mean, these guys had an opportunity to ask for anything. Teach us to pray. That's what a son, you think about, you fathers. Can I ask the dads to stand? If you're a dad in here, I don't care how old your children are. I'm commissioning you right now to teach them to pray. I'm commissioning you to teach them to pray. And think about this. It's not just a fleeting thought as a prayer. Teach them how to watch and pray for an hour. An hour. I'll give you a word of the Lord. You teach your kids how to pray for an hour, they'll have a prayer-filled life. Something breaks in them. Jesus said, could you not, Terry, could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? I'm commissioning you right now to teach your children how to pray. Sit down. Thank you. See, Jesus gives, he's giving them a weapon, a tool. But listen, it's to cause a collision of the kingdoms. It's not a tool to bob and weave and sidestep and stiff arm calamity. It's a tool and a weapon to put us right in the middle of the fray. Jesus said, I didn't come to make you comfortable. I came to give you a sword. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Why? The world is perplexing. This isn't a philosophical issue. It is literal. Man, you'll read the Old Testament, the New Testament, and think, man, these are two different gods. No, the Old Testament's a type and shadow of what's to come. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are a bridge to get us to the New Testament, the new covenant, the new and better covenant, which is literal. See, God empowers us through prayer. So, man, you got 90 seconds of prayer, you're empowered with fumes. You've got an hour of prayer, your tank's full, you're ready to go. Why? The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer avails much. See, the Bible's so simple. Effectual means you're praying God's word. Fervent means you're passionate about it. How many guys are passionate about God? How many guys are growing even in that passion? It's just getting more and more and more and more. Well, I challenge you as the man of God in this house and as the leader, the senior pastors, we're calling February and March an explosion of miracles and revival, salvations and healings and deliverances, marriages coming together. Man, Sandy and I have had services where a dad walked in this door and a son walked in this door and they met each other at the altar call after the service and hadn't spoken to each other in years and were reconciled when they came back to God, each of them individually. See, I've seen it in clips of peace. I've been in rooms where we laid hands on dead people and they came back to life. And you'll think, oh, was it glorious? Oh, yeah, I was freaking out. What the heck's going on? This is New Testament stuff, man. The Bible says this. It's real simple commands. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. That's 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16, rejoice always. It's pretty simple. It kind of defeats the argument that you can't understand the word. Rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks. Listen, it doesn't say for everything. It says in everything. How many of you guys are in a mess right now? Give thanks. God's your deliverer. How many of you guys feel weak in a situation right now? Let me just give you full disclosure. I am not equipped to do what God's called me to equip naturally. I don't have the education. I don't have the background. I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the experience. But guess what? Paul said, what I'm weak has made its perfect strength. As a matter of fact, I'd rather be weak than strong because I'm not relying on me. I'm relying on him. So guess what I am constantly doing? Guess what I'm doing right now? I'm relying on God's strength. I have never, that I know of, that I remember, I forget things sometimes. I've never launched a revival in our church. I prayed for revival. I planned for revival. But I've never said, and let me tell you, it's like the first time I went up to Krieger's Bluff. It's 74 feet high. It's all stone. There's a little stream that's probably about 18 to 20 feet wide. Now, from 74 feet above, looking down on 18 foot wide stream, it looks like it's about this big. And in the middle of that stream, there's this, and it's all clear, fresh spring water. It's beautiful. There's a hole, and it looks deeper than everything else. And I got a good friend, Steve Tobin. Sandy's met him. He's a good guy. He said, hey, Shear, let's climb that bluff. Let's jump into the creek. I said, okay, let's go. We go up there. I'm looking down. I'm like, dear God in heaven. But I what are you going to do? You're going to climb back down? There's a bunch of people down there. No, what are you going to do? You're going to jump. I jump. I hit that deep hole. It was awesome. Except for it split the skin between my big toe and my next toe. 74 feet. We gotta jump. We have to act. I'm not telling you to jump off a bluff. I'm telling you to jump into revival. I can't talk about it anymore. I've talked about it for 41 dadgum years. I'm jumping. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's the will of God. And it doesn't stop there. You go, oh my gosh, that's so cool. No, you know what the next verse is? Don't quench the spirit. Guess what's happening on the inside of you right now because the word's being preached. Fire is being kindled on the inside of you. You can make a decision. My goodness, we all have excuses. Man, you've been through stuff, huh? Man, you've had your heart broke, huh? Man, you've had sleepless, tear-filled nights that people are unaware of. I know you guys. But where are you today? Where are you right now? You're sitting in church, you're taking notes, you got your Bible open. Don't quench the spirit. Don't douse the flame that God's put on the inside of you with doubt, with unbelief, with unforgiveness, with hurt. Don't despise prophecies. Let me tell you, I there was not one glimmer of thought of stiff arm in that prophetic word. Chano, take the mic. What did he say to you about this prophetic word? Chano gave him a ride somewhere, and he was talking about this word.
So on Thursday, I was giving Gustavo a ride and just normal talk in Spanish like we do. And he just looks at me and he says, you guys have to do the 60 days of revival. I said, yes, sir. Pastor, he goes, no, you don't understand. It's the most important thing I've ever said to your church. And then he just went on talking like, and I'm like, what did you just say? And he just said, it's the most important thing I've ever said to your church is we have to do this 60-day revival.
And I'm not going to despise prophecy. But here's the next verse, verse 21 says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every, it doesn't say abstain from evil, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the coming of God's word. See, number one in your notes, joy comes through rejoicing. Rejoice always. Why? It opens your life up for joy. Anybody have a problem with joy? No, for real. I'm telling you what these next 2 months are going to be. Rejoicing, 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 rejoicing. You know what the product's going to be? Joy, 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 joy. The 60 days of revival will bring thorough times of rejoicing. Number two, prayer overcomes temptation. You guys that suffer from addiction, pray without ceasing. Pray God's word, speak his promise. Here's the pattern. You find in God's word, you believe it because it's in God's word, you speak it out of your mouth, proclaim it, and you live it in your life. That's the pattern. And number three, thankfulness always, every time, overcomes depression. I'm telling you, this is going to be an explosion of miracles. You're believing God for direction, God's going to give you a miracle of direction. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Hello? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. I'm telling you, this is our marching orders right here. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is aggressively pursuing, but your flesh is stiff-arming it. And what's the Bible talking about here? It's talking about prayer. Your spirit's willing to pray. Your flesh is going to resist it. The spirit's willing to pray. The flesh rejects the power of our prayer life. Man, I'll tell you what triggered my salvation. A couple months before I got saved, I had a hit call to my life in the spring of 1979. For 2 weeks, I ran from this guy, and a spirit of fear gripped me for the first time in my life. I'd never experienced fear like that, and it was spiritual. I drove back to my hometown 3.5 hours. I got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I waited for 3 hours for my dad to get home. My dad gets home at 6 o'clock. And I tell him the story. Look, Dad, I'm going to die. He said, son, your mom and I have taught you how to live. You've decided to go your own way. You've made your bed. You sleep in it. What am I going to do about it? He said, I'm an accountant. You've got a hit called on you. He sits down. I sit down. I'm just mad. Just a ball of tension. He puts his sandwich down. He said, son, after he said there's nothing he can do, he said, there's one thing I can do. I knew what he was going to do, and it just enraged me. I'm like, how dare you? And he prays for me. God, forgive my son. God, protect my son. God, get him out of this pickle. And then he just started eating again. I got back in my truck. I drove back to where I lived, mad as could be, grinding my teeth. I pull up behind the house I lived in the parking area. It's the backyard. We parked there. And a guy came running out of the house. He said, "Where you been?" I said, "Don't worry." He said, "Who have you talked to?" I said, "Nobody." He said, I'm not asking again, "Where you been?" I said, "I went home." "Who'd you talk to?" I said, my old man." He said, "What did he do?" I said, "Nothing." And then I remember he prayed for me. I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "The man," he said the guy's name, "that called the hit on me, he said he's called this house and he said to get you a message that he's paid the guy to leave you alone. He's rescinded the hit. He just never wants to hear your name again." And at that moment, Jesus made himself real to me. I'm telling you, what if my dad wouldn't have prayed? What if he'd have stuck with, "There's nothing I could do. I'm an accountant. You're in a world of hurt." Afterwards, I talked to him and he said, "I didn't even want to tell you to go to the cops because it was a bigger deal than that." But he prayed. "God, forgive my son. God, deliver him from this. God, protect him. God, make yourself real to him in Jesus' name. Amen." That's what he prayed. The issue with us mastering over our flesh . It's effectual, fervent prayer. Your flesh is going to keep you on defense. If you're on defense, you're not going to score very often. It's natural to be on defense sometimes in your life. But our defense produces offensive positioning, puts us in a place to score, puts us in a place to win. That's what I'm believing God for this revival. I'm just telling you. What does our defense do? Takeaways, turnovers, big stops, three and outs, tackles for loss, all the above. We're not giving any more ground. Will you commit that in your life with me? We're not giving up any more ground. 60 days of revival. This revival puts us in a position to score and puts us in a position to win. Who's in on it? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. For 2 months. Yeah, I get it. Please don't quench the Spirit. Test all things. Are you in faith?
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.